I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 59. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 59. We are now in the third portion, the third and final portion of our series on the message, Sexual Purity, a Vanishing Attribute. If you have not received some notes, an outline on what we are covering, just raise your hand and one of our ushers will see to it that it is placed in your hand. But we have arrived at the third Roman numeral point. We've seen the cycle of sexual impurity. We've seen the cause of sexual impurity in the second portion of our message. This morning we're going to be looking at the curse of moral impurity as well as its cure. Now, in Isaiah chapter 59, I want you to notice verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You see, it's our responsibility to live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. Notice the Word of God says, God wants to hear our prayers. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to show himself strong towards us. But the responsibility of us as believers is found in verse 2. We need to deal with our sins, deal with our iniquities. Impurity, notice, results in broken fellowship with God. Broken fellowship with God. How sad. God is all-powerful. God is almighty. He spoke and the worlds came into existence. He sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross that we might have everlasting life. He has given unto us, it says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, all things that pertain to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. The Word of God says he's availed unto us his spiritual riches, and we are seated in the heavenlies, risen with Christ, as we've seen in our scripture reading from Colossians chapter 3. And yet with all of that power, with all of that privilege, the Word of God says our fellowship can be broken with God. Oh, how sad that we should limit God in our lives because of willfulness in persisting in sin. In the epistle of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, we have the following admonition given unto us. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. How sad that there are individuals today who say, but whose walk is not equal to their talk. Fundamentalism is riddled with individuals that say one thing and yet do another. I want you to notice, secondly, that not only does impurity result in broken fellowship with God, according to Isaiah 59 and 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, but impurity results in shattered marriages. The devil wants to destroy your home. He wants to destroy your marriage. And he knows that if he can destroy your home, that he more than likely has even your children's homes in his pocket once that destruction has taken place. You know, that destruction, in the least, results in distrust, and in the most, divorce. Oh, how sad, the curse of moral impurity. According to Hebrews chapter 12, we can see that impurity will result in chastening. If we truly know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and we've allowed ourselves through disobedience to go through that cycle of moral impurity that we dealt in our message in part one, and we're disregarding the practical and the spiritual reasons and the cause for it, we're going to sustain the curse of moral impurity. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 tells us that impurity will result in chastening. If we truly know Christ as Savior, let us take the admonition of verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 12, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chastens, and He scourges every son whom He receives." The Greek word translated loves here is the word phileo, which means a family love. If we're members of His family, the Lord is going to chasten us. It is not a chastening out of a retribution. It's not a punishment out of hatred and hostility, but it's a chastening. Oh, how many times have we experienced the chastening of the Lord when there has been sin that has been left undealt with in our lives? The Lord's not going to let us get away with it. Perhaps we've been flirting with sin in some of these areas that we've been dealing with in our message. The Lord loves you, and He is not going to allow you to stray away. He's going to bring you back. It's what some Bible teachers have called woodshed theology. And it says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. If I see my boys playing out in the development where I live, and one of them breaks a window, I'm going to deal with my boys. My boy and I are going to go to that home, and we're going to talk with the owner of that home. My boy is going to say what he did, that he put the window, broke the window with his softball. And then arrangements are going to be made for that window to be fixed, and that will be at the expense of my son. Now, if I see some neighbor boy break a window, I'll go to his father, and I'll say, are you aware of what your son has done? And if he's the kind of father that he should be, he'll see to it that his boy gets the situation remedied. But I'm not going to spank someone else's boy. I'm not going to chasten someone else's boy. I have my own family that I deal with. And likewise, our Heavenly Father deals with His own children. And notice the Word of God says He deals with us as with sons. What son is he whom the Father chastens not? If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Strong language to describe the fact that the Lord is going to deal with us if we know Christ as our personal Savior. You know, if you're flirting with sin and God is not chastening you, if He's not putting the roadblocks in your way, you have a very real reason to doubt your salvation as to whether or not you're really in the family of God. You know, the Lord chastens by the withdrawal of prayer, of answered prayer. The ceiling and your prayers will not go through the ceiling tiles. The heavens will be as brass. The Lord will even remove His physical blessing upon you. Oh, how I have known as a pastor and dealt in counseling with situations where a believer who truly knew the Lord was not responding to the chastening of the Lord, and there was physical illness brought upon that person. And in accordance with James chapter 5, when it was confessed and dealt with, God restored health and strength to that individual. There's the withdrawal of spiritual blessings, the withdrawal of God's hand of direction in your life. Oh, how we need to see to it that we respond to the chastening of the Lord. And we need to realize we have the earthly example. And by the way, verse 9 makes a good Father's Day sermon for fathers who have a tendency to be absentees in the element of discipline. I personally believe that the father ought to be up front in the administration of discipline in his home. Not just to leave it for mom or the nanny or the Christian school teacher or someone else. It says here, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Now let's take a look at Roman numeral number 4 in continuance with our message now. We've seen the cycle of moral impurity, the cause for moral impurity, and the curse of moral impurity. But I want you to notice now, fourthly, the cure for sexual impurity. Now notice, if you'll look at Psalm 119. You know, Psalm 119 is that great portion of the Word of God that deals with the subject of the Word of God. Psalm 119, beginning with verse 9. Now, there are the three A's. I call them the three A's of victory, the three A's of cure for moral and sexual impurity. First of all, number one, admit. You know, we need to admit. David would not admit until he was confronted by Nathan the prophet. We need to admit our problem, and we need to get clean. You know, I find that one of the greatest reasons why believers oftentimes will not admit their sin is because they're living in denial. Oh, we like to blame others and blame shift, and we look at the faults of others, but are we living in denial? Let me remind you, as I need to remind myself daily, that if I'm walking with the Lord, I need to be attentive to the still small voice, pointing out areas in my life that need to be brought in conformity to the Word of God. But admit the problem and get clean. Psalm 119, notice verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the Word. You know, we need to confess our sins. The word confess means to agree with God and say the same thing that He says about what we're doing. And if we've been involved in areas that are leading us in our lives to moral impurity, we need to admit it and say, Lord, I've sinned against You, against myself and among others in the family of God. And we need to confess and praise the Lord for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful. And He's also just. He's righteous in forgiving us. Why? Because of the merits of His Son. He's not just looking the other way and saying, well, I'll pretend like I didn't see it. No. He's faithful to do it. But He's also righteous in doing it because Jesus Christ paid the price for that sin. And He's recognizing the atonement of our Savior on behalf of our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now look at verse 10. The second A is not only admission, but affirmation. We need to affirm our purpose to stay clean. You know, oftentimes, individuals will run up an altar, come to the platform, maybe confess a sin, kneeling at an altar, and then run back as if coming forward was some type of a mystical experience that gives victory. No, the Lord looks at the heart. He wants a life of admission, a heart that affirms, like Daniel of old, I'll purpose not to defile myself. Affirm your purpose to stay clean. Verse 10 of Psalm 119 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. See, our problem, like the writer James says, is that we have a tendency to be double-minded. We want to have one foot in the world and one foot in the things of God. But here it says, I'm going to affirm and purpose to stay clean. I'm going to wholeheartedly seek You, Lord. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Affirm and purpose to stay clean. I've often encouraged believers that had problems with moral impurity to get an accountability partner. Get with someone who you can trust, who you can communicate with, and let one another be accountability partners towards one another. And there are people that God has established and placed in your path that you ought to be able to trust. I'm not talking about a multitude of people. Someone who you know you can confide in for help and counsel and direction. And by the way, are you one of those people that someone could go to for help and encouragement? You know, there are some Christians that, quite frankly, the minute they hear something juicy, they're out running around with it to tell everybody else, you know. And I think that we ought to be believers who can give counsel and encouragement. I'm here to tell you, I'm not the kind of pastor that when I hear something, you know, before you know it, by next Sunday the whole church is going to know about it. If you have a spiritual need, you can come to me and share that. And I'll be your prayer partner and your accountability partner. And I'll be in prayer for you about it. And I'll check up on you, too. And you do that on me, okay? But the point is, we need to be believers that are there to help one another. By the way, that's one of the benefits of the local church, isn't it? In Hebrews 10:25, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. This is a sidelight. I'd like to take you to that passage because it describes the sadness of so many believers that will absent themselves from the family of God. Here it says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. You see, that's part of being in the house of God. Don't get mad when someone misses you in a service and calls you and says, hey, how are you doing? I missed you last Sunday. They're doing it because they love you. They want you to be in the house of the Lord together, you see. There's an accountability. Someone comes up to you and reveals a blind spot in your life. Don't be offended. They love you. And by the way, in the spirit of Galatians 6:1, we ought to be able to come in a spirit of meekness. Exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I'll tell you, you study this passage. Every meal ought to begin with a good portion of lettuce. And I love lettuce. And here you have lettuce. In verse 2, you got the lettuce of consecration. In verse 23, you got the lettuce of confession. And then in verses 24 and 25, you got the lettuce of consideration. And all of that is found in the house of God as you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So, admit your problem. Get clean. Don't play with it anymore. Separate yourself from it. Avoid the appearance of evil. Touch not the unclean thing. Affirm your purpose to stay clean. And finally, in verses 11 through 16 of Psalm 119, apply the protection to keep clean. There's a protection. There's a sixfold protection that I'd like to cover in the remaining 15 minutes of our message that we have here. There's a protection. There's a balm. There's a medication to apply. You know, when you're sick and you go to the doctor, that doesn't bring healing. The doctor sees you and he tells you what you have. But you still have the problem after you pay the big tab. You probably have a bigger problem after you leave because you got the illness plus the tab, or at best the deductible. And so what do? He gives you a little piece of paper for however much he charged you. And what are you supposed to do with that little piece of paper? Frame it? Boy, look at that. There's the answer, folks. There it is. It'll heal me. All I have to do is look at it like the serpent of brass. No. You're still not healed. You go to the pharmacist, right? And you cash in the little piece of paper for a little bottle, right? You put that ointment in the medicine cabinet. and then you're healed. Right? I have the answer. Here it is. Paid twice. I paid for the doctor and paid for the deductible on my prescription. And there it is. No, what do you have to do? Healing begins only when you begin to apply what people have told you. And no one can do that for you. God will give you the power to serve Him. But you know, the Word of God says we have the armor, but what does it say? Put on the armor. It's our responsibility to take it up, you see. And here, we have to apply protection to keep clean. What are those applications that we need to do? Well, there's six of them. Verse 11, we need to memorize the Word of God. We need to memorize the Word of God. Now, I have here a little booklet that's put out by Jerry Savinsky. He's one of the Bible teachers that goes just about every year to the wilds, and he preaches a series. And anyway, he has a four series. I only brought one, but he has a four-part series on memorizing the Word of God. And there are four books. Now, it's interesting because Jerry Savinsky, if you've ever heard him preach, he has a way of preaching. He never preaches more than 20 minutes. And the reason why is that he's got everything memorized. And your problem is to fly like the wind to try to look up everything because he's got it all memorized. He doesn't stop and have you turn. He just zoom, you know. You might get the first one, but he has the Word of God memorized. Now, four books that are available in this series. You have Scripture Memory for Daily Living and Victory in the Christian Life. Then he has another book of topical scriptures that you can memorize dealing with character traits. This is excellent for Sunday school teachers to use with their children. Memorize, break them down one a week or every 2 weeks. Bible doctrines, scriptures that support Bible doctrines are systematically here. Then the fourth book, which I have here, are scripture verses for the protection of your family. Just an excellent section. And in this particular book on for the family, truthfulness, verses on the home, on tenderness, on self-control, wastefulness, reproof, dishonor, scriptures to use with music. Do you have children that are listening to the wrong kind of music? Well, you know, you can hammer them over the head, but the Word of God says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And these are good categories. Patience, scriptures dealing with lying, ambition, all of these subjects are here, and we need to memorize the Word of God. That's the application, you see, in order for the cure of sexual impurity. In the back table, we have a listing. I have it right here on the flyleaf of my Bible. Scriptures to use against Satan's strongholds. I had given them out earlier just to encourage you to put them, not only for they're available for you, but also for counseling. Never, in the years that I have been in the ministry, 26 years now, as in the pastorate, several more as youth pastor and such, but never have I seen such vicious sins appearing in the church as I do today. Viciousness of the demonic activity as we are seeing today. And boy, I'll tell you, these are excellent messages. This here was put on by Tom Farrell. And this is not mine. I did not write it. He's a frequent speaker at the Wild Summer Camp, too. That'll be a help for you to get the Word of God into your life, into your heart, so that you'll be able to learn more about the Word of God. Let me tell you, there is no shortcut. We must internalize the Word of God. Jesus did Himself, the very Word incarnate, the very Son of God, used the Word of God. How many times He quoted from the book of Deuteronomy in attacking and working against the devil, you see, in response. So memorize the Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You know, one of the things that kept soldiers in concentration camps strong for the Lord was the fact that even though they did not have their Bibles, they testified of the fact that they were able to reproduce large portions of the Word of God and disseminate it even among fellow POWs. Many people came to know Christ as Savior because they had the Word of God. You know, what if the Word of God was taken away from every one of us through some tyrannical regime that would overtake the United States? I wonder how much of God's Word we would be able to reproduce because we had hidden it in our hearts. Oh, may God challenge us to memorize the Word of God. But you know, you can just memorize portions of Scripture and yet just have it be an exercise. No, you must personalize. Number two, personalize the Word of God. Notice what it says here in verse 2. "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach her, my wife, thy statutes." Teach my husband. They need it. No, teach me. I need it. You know, if every one of us as marriage partners, if every one of us as children, members of a family, would just draw a circle on the tile and say, "Lord, start a revival in this circle." You go to your room. Now, be careful if you have wall-to-wall carpeting. We've had some recent problems with magic markers in our home. But don't draw a circle on your carpet, but even an imaginary one, okay? Or better yet, do this. Go to your driveway. You ever seen that chalk that kids use on sidewalks that the rain washes off? Of course, with the lack of rain, you know, it'll probably stay for a while. But that's all right. Let it stay for a while. Draw a circle in the driveway and say, "Lord, you're all-powerful. Start a revival inside that circle." And then all of a sudden, step in to that circle and say, "Start with me. Start with me, Lord." And you'll be surprised that when the revival starts with you, all of a sudden, it'll start affecting others as well. But let's be concerned with ourselves. Personalize the Word of God. "Blessed art thou, Lord. Teach me thy statutes." When you begin memorizing the Word of God, and even at a young age, I challenge young people, children that are here, to get into the Word of God. It'll be a tremendous blessing. The Scriptures that I learned as a young man, I had a Sunday school teacher that really insisted in our teen group that we memorize at least a verse of Scripture a week. And there was that accountability that we were going to go over that verse of Scripture. And I remember Colossians 3, we memorized and we'd go through Scriptures, and there was that accountability. And oh, how I bring those and use those very Scriptures against others. So, you see, the Word of God says, memorize the Scriptures. That's the first cure. You know, it's like these big green dumpsters. You ever seen these dumpsters that are provided by the city? I'll tell you what, I love them because they're handy. I don't want to really... It's got wheels, and when we got into our association, our homeowners association, the city provided us one of those green dumpsters. But you know, after a while, those things start smelling foul. Especially if somebody dumps without keeping it in the plastic bag, which is one of my pet peeves, you know. And what do you do when it starts getting foul? You get a little bleach and you swish it around there and get a hose and wash it all out and dump it. You know, when you have a hen house of impurity in your life because of the garbage that you've been dumping in, even in your unsaved days and in the military days, you know, you were in the Army, the Navy, the Marines, whatever, you know, and you've got garbage in the water of the Word, the washing of the water of the Word, Ephesians 5, is what's needed to get that cleaned out, you see. Memorization, personalization. Then number 3, we need to verbalize the Word of God. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." You know, we need to verbalize it to the devil. And we need to verbalize it to everyone that we have contact with. Young people, when somebody offers you a drag of marijuana, first of all, you shouldn't even be hanging around people like that. But when someone comes and tempts you, you'll be ready to say, "Listen, I don't need that kind of stuff. I don't use that because I belong to the Lord. I'm a child of God. My temple's the temple of the Holy Spirit." You verbalize. Make that an affirmation of faith. You say, "God's Word says I'm a child of the King. I'm going to live like it. I'm going to personalize it, and I'm going to verbalize it. I'm going to be a witness for the Lord." You know, as a young man, my boys have part-time jobs, and it seems like for the last couple of years they've worked at a place called Florida Cactus. Well, you know, that's an interesting job, and it's a great place to work. My training grounds at work when I was in high school was a supermarket. I used to work at the supermarket. And you know, whenever I walked into a new place of work, I always made it my purpose to witness of my Lord as soon as I could so that people knew where I was. And then when the temptations took place, I had already taken my stand. So it wasn't hard to continue to take a stand. But you know, when you're living in sin as a believer, and you're drinking with everybody else and smoking with everybody else and cussing with everybody else and chewing with everybody else and flirting with everybody else and doing what everybody else is doing, and then all of a sudden you get right with God, you know, I'll be honest with you, there are going to be some explanations that are going to have to be made to people, you know. But you know what? Verbalize it. So what? Jesus Christ hung on Calvary's cross for you. I think you ought to be willing to say, I want you to know that I've made some changes in my life. And I knew Christ, and I know Christ as personal Savior. And when I knew Christ as personal Savior, there were some areas that weren't straight with me, but I've made some decisions. And I want to ask your forgiveness, because I haven't been living that way. Oh, they'll laugh, and they'll call you Deacon Joe and Pastor Charlie or whatever, you know. But deep in their heart, they'll know who to come to when they need help. They'll know who to come to. Verbalize your confession of faith. Verbalize. Parents, when God gives you a blessing from the Word of God, verbalize that to your kids. When God answers prayer, verbalize it to your children. Our children need to see that God is real. They need to see it verbalized. And that's why I like testimony services. I like for God's people to hear testimonies. Early in my attendance, I'll never forget Edith's testimony. "Edith, one of these days, I'd like to have you give your testimony again, because I just want to hear it again. You know, I just want to keep on hearing it." And testimonies. You know, the children of Israel set up their altars as a testimony for the Lord. And we need to verbalize the Word of God. And by the way, when you counsel someone, you're verbalizing it too. How often I've read something in the Bible that blessed me, and lo and behold, that very day or week, somebody crosses my path that has a problem, and I could use that little gem that God gave me to help them. How many of you have you ever experienced that? God gave you something, or a diamond, and you took that, and the reason why He gave it to you on Monday was because He knew that on Thursday somebody would have to have that, and you were ready. You had your gospel gun in the holster, and you were ready to slap leather for the Lord. Amen. You know, and you were ready. And you know, I'll tell you what, you start internalizing God's Word, and God's going to make you like a living spigot. As fast as it comes in, He'll see to it that it goes out. But you know, when we start getting spiritual indigestion is when we either eat the wrong things, or we're just hoarding and we're not giving it out. Verbalize the Word of God. Then verse 14, finalize the Word of God. "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony as much as all riches." Keep that as a goal to keep your eyes on. I have rejoiced, oh, the Word of God says, in the way of thy testimonies. It's my goal. My goal is not riches. My goal is the Word of God. And that is the way of the Lord's testimonies. Then verse 15, internalize the Word of God. I will meditate in thy precepts. Memorization is fine, verse 11, but meditation takes it with him and applies it to day-to-day life and meditate upon it. It's a lot better than meditating on people that cut you off on I-4. You know, meditate on the Word of God. I will meditate like a cow chewing its cud, ruminating. Okay, passing it from one stomach to the other, you know. Well, we chew the Word of God and assimilate it. And it says here, I'll meditate in thy precepts, and I will have respect unto thy ways. Then look at verse 16. We need to memorialize. Memorialize the Word of God. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy Word. Oh, how we have a tendency to forget the blessings of God's Word. I close with this illustration. Years ago, there was a teenager that grew up in a Christian home. He went off and attended a secular college. His father had died years earlier, raised by a widow mom. Mom counseled that young man to go to a Christian school. He would not. He attended what was considered to be a very, very pagan school. His mother was worried about him greatly. One day she gave him a Bible, very similar to the one that I have here in my hands. She printed a verse of Scripture on the flyleaf, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. With love and my prayers always, your loving mom. The young man going to college soon discovered that college life for him was a series of wild parties, binge drinking, and he spent all the money that he could earn on fleeting pleasures. On one occasion, he needed money, and would you believe it, he actually pawned off his Bible to get money for drink. Nevertheless, in spite of his debauched way of living, he actually made it through and entered into medical school. And he went on living a life of debauchery and sin and still studying as a very intelligent man to be a doctor. As he became a physician, he worked in a trauma unit at a major, major city hospital. One day, his name was Dr. Mackey now, by the way. Dr. Mackey, that was his name. Dr. Mackey, please report to the emergency room. And he became a trauma physician, working in the emergency room, a man who was very capable. And he treated a dying patient on one occasion. This man was dying. And as he was dying, he said, Doc, could you give me my book? Give me my book. I want to hold my book. The doctor didn't know what he was talking about, thought at first he might be delirious. But the nurse said, no, over there, with all of his keepsakes over there, his book, get that book. So the doctor brought the book, tucked it under his arm, the arm of this dying man. But as the doctor looked at the book that was given to him by the nurse to tuck under the arm, he saw that that Bible looked strangely familiar. The man died in that trauma unit. The physician took that book, opened it up to the flyleaf, and saw that that was the Bible that his mama had given him 14 years ago. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. With prayers, your loving mom. He took that Bible to his office at this leading university hospital, and he read it for 2 solid hours, fell on his knees, and received the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. The prayers of his mom had been answered. God's Word is powerful, folks. God's Word is powerful. Don't pawn it off. Don't put it off. God has given us a gift, and I believe He's preserved His Word for us that we might read it, memorize it, internalize it, personalize it, verbalize it, live for the Lord Jesus Christ. The days are short. I don't know about you, but I want to commit myself anew and afresh to allowing the water of the Word. Because, you know, this world is so contaminating, isn't it? I mean, it's like walking through a garbage heap. It's going to stick to you. And we need a bath every day. We need the Word of God. Let's commit ourselves as a church. Let's commit ourselves as Sunday school teachers. Let's commit ourselves as parents. Let's commit ourselves as Christian educators. Let's commit ourselves as witnesses to use the Word of God and be in the Word of God. Whatever temporal, sinful activity has kept you from doing that, rebuke it and confess it as sin before our righteous Savior. Commit yourself today, anew and afresh, to the Word of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for the victory that we have through the Word of God. And Father, thank You that this book is Your love letter to us. And Father, I pray that You would speak to our hearts in areas of need. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, there may be some here that have dishonored their Lord in the workplace. You've dishonored the Lord in the sins of omission. You've dishonored the Lord in the sins of commission. But You want to take the time this morning to say, Lord Jesus, forgive my disobedience. Forgive my rejection to follow what You have given to me in Your Word. Lord, I have been an unfaithful steward. And as a steward, I've been imparted God's Word. Lord, cleanse me so that I might be able to be what I need to be for people that need to see Jesus in me. You know, if there's one person that doesn't pray that prayer, it's going to hurt us all. Because you see, we're members of one another. And if one of us fails to take up the sword and walk with the Lord, to that degree we're all affected. Won't you just yield and dedicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? If that's your prayer, just by the uplifted hand, Pastor John, pray for me. I want to be one of Gideon's 300. I want to be ready serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone else, pray for me. There are some areas in my life, there are some struggles that I need to make right. Maybe there are some things that you need to confess, make right to others that have failed to see Jesus Christ in your life. Father, thank You for these that have indicated a need, and Lord, we're all a needy people needing to come before Your presence. Father, like this physician, Dr. Mackey, Lord, thank You that we can lift up the banner of the cross and begin serving You. You are the God of the second chance. Bless us now as we sing our closing hymn. In Jesus' name, amen.